G'day, tater tots. Woof! Welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the raw and honest podcast where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. Woof! Welcome back to regular programming of the podcast. It's been a hot minute. In today's episode, I invite Kaya back onto the podcast. You all love having Kaya on here, so I thought I would welcome her back for an episode on endometriosis, her symptoms, her diagnoses, as well as sex when you have endometriosis, pain with sex, symptoms that you can have, the fact that you can be asymptomatic, and yeah, so many other things in regards to endometriosis. We're trying to bring a lot of awareness to it. We also make note of the pill and how it can be used to mask or band-aid symptoms of endometriosis, as well as treat it. And yeah, we just go into depth a lot today about girl talk, women chat, all that good stuff. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to this one. It is actually one of my favorites. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. So everybody, welcome Kaya onto the podcast and we'll get straight into it. Kaya, welcome back onto Topics of Taboo.
Hello, hello.
So glad to have you back. It just feels so natural having you on the podcast now.
Yeah, I feel like this is home for me.
You're pretty much the co-host. What? you guys, I was just having a chat to Kaya and getting her up to date on my life at the moment, my mental breakdowns, and I had a little bit of a session last week or the week before where I spiraled. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about endometriosis, the implications for some women, and just talk about Kaya's experience with it, because I fully spiraled last week and convinced myself that I have endo, and obviously there's no way to tell because I haven't had a laparoscopy and I haven't had any other testing done yet. But I'll be speaking about that a little bit and just talking about some of your experiences as well, because it's definitely a silent, chronic battle for some women. And yeah, I think it needs to be spoken about more, which is exactly why I've brought Kaya onto the potty today.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was telling you, I think I pretty much told you, but 2 weeks ago, like, you guys, I've been struggling with gut issues for the longest time, 6 years plus, and I was put on this... Long story short, I was put on this really strict diet and taking all these herbs to try and like kill off a parasite, kill off a candida infection. But the first month was great. And then the second month, it started really killing my mental health. Not being able to eat normal things was so hard. I was just having breakdowns every single week and very anxious and crying all the time, nonstop crying. So I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. But in the week leading up to me saying, fuck this, I had pains that I started Googling, which was stupid.
Never Google the symptoms.
I was doctor Googling everything and pretty much was like, fuck, I have endo, which of course may not be the case at all. It may or may not be. And only having a certain surgery could tell me that. But I reached out to a few of my gal pals, and some of them actually ended up having endo, which is Kaya is one of those. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring you on and talk a little bit about that, your experience with it. And, I don't really know where to start. So how did it all start for you?
Well, I was even like before I was old enough to like have periods and stuff, yeah. I would get like it was like just before my first period type thing, like maybe 6 months leading up, a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I'd get like these excruciating stomach pains, like in my lower abdomen area, in my back, sometimes down my legs. Like,
yeah.
It was actually hell. And my parents were like, what the fuck? There is actually something wrong with this child. At the time, they would just like come and go. And then I got my first period. And it was quite honestly the most excruciating experience of my life. Like, it was heavy and it was painful, like so, so painful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like this is just normal. Everyone was like, that's just normal. You'll get used to the pain. Yeah. Like, you get used to it. It's normal. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I was having really irregular periods. So I'd get like my period once every 2 weeks or like very regularly, like always. Okay. And it would be heavy.
Yeah.
Or I'd have really long periods. Like I remember there was this one point where I had my period for nearly a month straight.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
And it was the most, oh, I hated it so much.
And is it like heavy the whole time?
Yeah. So it was heavy for the most part. And then like the last week was just like spotting and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was like 2.5 weeks of like full blown heavy flow.
Yeah.
And so I like communicated with mom. I was like, hey, little old 14-year-old, 15-year-old Kaya. I was just like, hey, dude.
hey, dude.
This doesn't feel normal. Like, I know you said it should be, but this is what I'm going through. And she's like, yeah, we'll take you to the GP, see what they could do.
Yeah.
And they put me on a pill. So they didn't do any testing or anything.
The pill.
They chucked me on the pill.
The Band-Aid. We love that.
Yes, we love a Band-Aid effect.
Mm.
And I was on the pill for from age about 14, 15 to age 20.
Yeah.
And I didn't come off it at all. So it was like, yeah, about 6 years.
Did you ever have a pill bleed or did you skip it pretty much the whole time?
I skipped it as many times as I could. Because that was the instruction I was given, was to just continually skip it. But I had issues with like migraines, spotty vision, weight gain, weight loss, all the fun side effects of the pill.
Yeah.
But my periods were less painful.
Yeah.
They weren't like extremely less painful, but they were somewhat less painful, a little bit more manageable when I did have a pill period.
Right.
I'm assuming it's like not an actual period, so that would have had some sort of play in it. I'm not really sure how the chemicals of that stuff
works. It's weird because like your pill bleed, whenever you're on the pill and you have a period, it is literally like your body detoxing from a drug. Like it's a withdrawal bleed. It's not a real period because you're not ovulating because that's what the pill stops. So it's interesting though that I hear from so many girls on the pill, when they have a pill bleed, they're like cramping and they feel like shit. And it's like, is that meant to be? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But I feel like the fact that you're not ovulating and it's not a real period, all you should really notice is that you're bleeding.
That you're bleeding. There shouldn't be any excruciating pain to go with it.
And like the PMS thing too. Like I get super bad PMS a week before my pill bleed. But why? It's not. I know your hormones are changing. But
should they be changing that much?
I don't know. Oh, God, the stuff that keeps you up at night. Shit.
Yeah, I was like, when I was on the pill, I was so angry. Yep. Like throwing hands angry all the time. Yeah. Like, I'd have to genuinely bite my tongue.
Yep.
And I'm not one to bite my tongue. Like, I speak my mind and I say how I feel all the time. But it was like fucking period Kaya coupled with in pain Kaya coupled with just super angry coupled with like hormone imbalances, and it was just this whole thing. When I turned 20, so around 20, I stopped taking the pill. I was like, this is, because they changed me over to a different one because you can't be on the same one for too long. And I was getting like really bad migraines and spotty vision, as I said, and my doctor at the time was like, yeah, you may like experience a small stroke if you continue to take the pill. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, no doubt.
That's actually happened. One of the girls I work with, she was telling me the other day, because I was telling her I'm coming off, and she was like, do it, best thing ever. And she actually had that. She was telling, so she was never told. So her family has a history of migraines, and when she went on the pill, she was never questioned. She was never told about that side effect, and that if you are prone to that you should not take the pill. Like you are if you're prone to blood clotting or anything like that. And she was prone to it. She was never told. One day at work, she sort of she passed out. And then when she like came to, like obviously her workmates or whatever were like, are you okay? Are you okay? She couldn't speak. Like she could not. It was like babble.
Yeah.
She couldn't speak. She couldn't really see much. And yeah, she had a massive headache, and she came off the pill and she hasn't had it since. And like, I don't know if she was told, we didn't really go into much detail. I don't know if she was told that the pill did this or made her more susceptible to it. But basically after that, she was so scared. She came off and she hasn't been on since, and she feels amazing. She had issues with her gut and feeling really sick and stuff as well, and that's all gone. She's like, fuck the pill. Fuck the pill.
I'm very much also on the fuck the pill boat. Yeah.
Me too.
Although it helped, like, I guess, band-aid the effects of my endo for, like, a couple of years.
Yeah.
The side effects were not worth it at all.
No.
Since coming off it, I haven't had migraines nearly as frequently at all. Like, I was getting them, like, once a week, like, frequently, like, bedridden. And the pain of the endo without the pill is, and at the beginning, like with the withdrawals from the pill, all that sort of stuff, etc., like that was excruciating. And it still is. Like, I've been in and out of hospital for it. Mm. Like, there was one point where it was so bad that I couldn't eat without vomiting because I was in so much pain.
Oh, God.
And I became malnourished and had to go into hospital. And I was like, going in and doctors, like, I literally had a doctor say to me once, he was like, oh, you just get bad period pains and you're not really good at handling it. And yeah. anyone who knows me knows that I'm covered, like, actually covered head to toe in tattoos. So yeah. for a guy to tell me that I don't have a high pain tolerance to something I've been dealing with since I was 14, yeah. while I'm covered in tattoos, I was like, you're a fucking clown.
Yeah.
like, get out. Like, I need this fixed. Like,
any doctor, but, like, a male doctor saying that, I hate when they dismiss women's pain, because fuck right off first, you don't get it. You do not have any of our body parts. you don't experience and never will experience a period or cramping or anything of that sort. Fuck right off. And secondly, because it's not always male doctors, I've had female doctors say similar things in different settings, not for endo, but for other things, like, just tell me, oh yeah, go and take some Nurofen, or just go and do this. Or, like, for example, when I first started investigating my gut symptoms and issues, I was basically told that if I didn't have celiac disease, I was fine. So they tested me, they were like, oh, you might be celiac, all right, let's test you for this. Got everything tested, they came back clear, and they were like, oh, you're all good then. And I was like, I'm not good. I'm still dealing with a chronic something. I don't know what it is, but this bloating and never feeling okay in my stomach, always feeling heavy and not right, is not normal, so don't tell me that. But yeah, it doctors honestly suck. And the fact that the pill is, I've spoken about this before in another episode, but the fact that the pill is prescribed so easily at a young age for so many things, like acne, endo pain, which
they just, like, whip it out, like, here, go take that.
Yeah, super heavy periods, super long painful heavy periods, not normal, but here we go, let's pop you on a pill and disguise it for a while.
Yeah,
like,
which I feel like did more harm than good in the long run anyway.
Oh, definitely.
Because if I had known earlier, maybe I would have had, yeah, I would have had coping mechanisms in place.
Yeah,
I didn't even know endo was a thing until I spoke to a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained the symptoms, and she was like, dude, I've had that. That's endo. Like, I've got that. Like, you need to get tested for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the process to be tested for endo, I'm still going through
Shit.
It.
Shit.
Like, I've only been clinically diagnosed, so I haven't had the keyhole surgery yet. That's the next step. But in order to get the keyhole surgery, I have to jump through all these fucking hoops.
Okay, so what, like, are they?
Like, having to go through, like, the blood tests, like, the worded questioning.
Yeah.
I've had internal ultrasounds. I've had MRIs where they inject you with contrast and literally, like, shove you in a machine, and they're like, oh, what's going on in there? Oh,
God.
And that sort of yielded a few different problems, which I'm glad it did, because now I know. It showed that I have cysts growing throughout, like, my ovaries, which I didn't know were there, which obviously contribute to some of the pain.
Yep.
But it also showed an endometrium type, for lack of a better word, like, substance or texture growing throughout my pelvis.
Yeah.
In areas where it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And so they were like, look, we've had a look at the reports and we're going to clinically diagnose you with endometriosis. The next step is to then have that keyhole surgery so we can see where it is exactly and remove it.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, cool. So once it's removed, it's gone, right? And they were like, no. It'll grow back. And I was like, so then what? And they're like, so then you get it removed again.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I'm going to spend my whole life having surgery, having this shit removed from me, like, this invasive, and it's so painful, like, this invasive tissue removed from me just for it to grow back, just to get it removed again.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot to tackle, and like, it's a lot to tackle physically, like, your actual body gets physically exhausted.
Yeah.
And, like, there are photos of me where you can see the bags under my eyes, like, when I was getting all the tests done, and I literally felt like a lab rat.
Yeah.
And I look so, so sick, like, so sick. Mm. But it's also really hard on you mentally, like, having to explain it to people, because now going to work and stuff, they don't know. Like, they don't know that I have this chronic illness. You can't see that someone's chronically ill, because I look like everyone else. I look fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I might look a bit tired or a bit lethargic, but look fine.
But, like, so does everyone. Yeah. 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 It's so hard. Yeah, you can't see it. It's invisible.
Yeah. I've literally had moments where I've been at work, like, pouring beers or something, and I've collapsed in pain. Like, I've just been like,
yeah,
oh,
shit.
Fuck. There was this one time I came home from a guy's place, and I walked. So I had the best time. I was, like, in the best mood, and I opened my door, walked into the house, and like I was Snapchatting a video to my friend Tay, telling her like all about like my fun time, like my fun date, and I collapsed. Like in the video, you literally like I don't know if I have it saved, but I'll see if I can find it. But I literally collapsed in agonizing pain.
It just comes on.
It just went like straight away, and I was like, "Holy fuck!" And I know that it's different for like, everyone. It's so different for everyone, but like I know now what the pain is, and I guess that brings me the smallest peace of mind, is knowing that like, okay, I'm not dying. Cause you genuinely like when I was younger and when I didn't know what it was, I genuinely, honest to God, thought I was dying. Like I was like, this is cancer. I'm dying. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and I catastrophize things, but same. I can
so badly,
but this is like, it's something that I like, you genuinely, when it gets to that point, you genuinely think you're dying.
Yeah.
Like for me anyway, I was like, there's something seriously wrong here.
Yeah.
And it was just hard. It's hard to tell people. Like, my partner at the time didn't really understand the full extent of it. And it led to a lot of fighting because he was like, you're just being lazy, laying in bed with a heat pack. And I'm like, I literally can't move.
Yep.
It took a lot to get over mentally as well as physically. And even now, like I was saying to you last week, I genuinely had a mental breakdown because I've gone from having my period once every 3 months to literally I had it and then it went away for a week and then it came back. And I just burst into tears and I was like, I just got rid of this.
Oh,
like, I
that would be the worst. I can't even imagine. Having it once a month is worse enough, like bad enough. And that's why like I'm super scared. So I'm coming off the pill and I'm so excited to see all the good side effects, but at the same time I am scared. I'm scared that I'm gonna come off and have super heavy painful periods and be like, yep, fuck, I need to investigate this. Or I could come off and my cycle could be fine. I've heard of girls coming off their cycle being fine for 5 to 6 months and then getting a really bad period and it coming then, because like obviously it takes a while for your body to detox all the synthetic hormones and stuff you've had in your body for what, like 10 years. I've been on the pill since I was 13, and for me, okay, so like I went on for acne. And, like, it wasn't even acne. I think back now, I know what my skin was like at 13, and it was not acne, but everyone was going on it. Your friends were on it.
Everyone's on the pill.
Everyone's on the pill.
Levlin.
Yeah, I was on Diane.
Oh, you got the bougie shit.
I got the bougie shit, because that was the combined strong pill that helped acne.
Yeah.
And so the doctor was like, yep, here you go. At the time, I wasn't yet sexually active, but parents are going to be happy if, yep, okay, look, it's helping her skin. She's happy. She's more confident at school. And, oh, well, she's on the pill. So
no mini Megans.
Yeah, no mini Megans. Well, 90-whatever%. So, yeah, like, parents do it. It's fine. I have no resentment towards my parents for allowing me to go on it at such a young age. It's not their fault. It's I believe it's in the GP's hands in actually saying, look, these are long-term consequences. This is stuff that might happen, rather than being like, oh, yeah, you might get a headache here or there.
Mm.
That's literally all that was said to me. Yep, your acne will go away. You might get a headache here or there. Have a pill bleed once every 5 months. That was it.
Yeah, I wasn't even told about the headaches and stuff.
Okay.
I was not told about the strokes. I was told, like, it was literally, this will help your pain.
Yep.
This will make your pain go away. You won't have to bleed as much. If you go on a holiday and you want to go swimming, you can just skip your period. Awesome. You can literally swim on your period. Like, just chuck a tampon in, bro. You'll be fine.
Yep.
Like, there was this, like, such a positive thing. Like, I'm going on the pill. Yeah. Like, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to go on school camps and not have to worry.
Yeah, and that's true. And honestly, and like, now that I think back at that, yeah, there's definitely times where it was handy and it was helpful that I could skip it. Yeah, with school swimming, school sports, I did a lot of swimming. It was just annoying having my period. And it was. But it's just a band-aid, and so many people come off later and have so many issues that are almost worse than, oh, okay, well, either I can't swim or I'm just going to have to use a tampon this time. Like,
yeah.
For a little bit of discomfort, you know, like, I don't know.
That's the good thing about hindsight, though.
Yeah.
Like, when I was younger and I was on the pill at that time, that suited me and my lifestyle. I didn't know any better. And, like, when you're younger, like, getting your period is fucking terrifying. Like, knowing that you're going to be bleeding for the rest of your life until you hit menopause, that shit is terrifying. So the pill was, like, this holy grail god.
Yeah.
And at the time, like, yeah, that worked. It benefit me.
Yeah.
But looking back on it in hindsight, it probably did more harm than good. But that's for me personally. Like, I know same. People who have been on the pill, they're still on the pill, they're loving it, no issues at all. Oh,
bless. I'm so jealous of those people. And yeah, I know people like that too, that are on it, no issues, nothing. No, like negative side effects, no headaches, no loss of libido. Fuck me. We'll get onto that shortly. Like nothing. Like, and that bless them. Like I have no anger towards them. I'm just like, you are so lucky. But yeah, also I think I was reading an article the other day and I think who was talking about it? Someone on Instagram was talking about how we are the first generation to have been on a pill like this for like long-term use.
Yeah.
So we are the test subjects.
Nice.
And we are now like women, like obviously I've done so much research on this because I'm coming off, I'm scared of the side effects coming off, what it might have been masking, all those things. And so many women come off the pill and have all these gut issues.
Yeah.
Me.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. When I didn't have any gut issues or food intolerances my entire life leading up to the pill, 0 years, from conception to 13 years of age, I could eat whatever the heck I wanted. I could eat bread, I could eat fruit, juices, everything, without getting bloated, without pain, without IBS. And then all of a sudden, these things start developing. And I'm also pumping synthetic hormones into my body. Like, I'm not obviously going to sit here and say taking the pill causes this. But there's enough anecdotal evidence out there to suggest that it alters your microbiome, which is exactly what's happened to me. And, oh, it just makes me so mad because, yeah, it has stopped pregnancy for me for so many years. It's been nice when I've had to skip the pill for a dance competition or swimming or something, like a holiday. That's true. And it definitely has done that. Being able to skip your period is definitely nice sometimes. But if I knew, like, back at the time, if I could flash forward and see all the issues I have with my gut right now, I never would have taken it.
Also, the fact that you're not skipping your period, it's like
you're literally suppressing your natural
hormones,
yeah.
And the periods aren't real periods.
Yeah.
That's something I only just learned, like,
really?
Very recently.
Yeah.
So they don't tell you that when you go on the pill. They're
my
just
mom
like,
told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom didn't even know that.
Really?
Like, we had a discussion about it a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know when you're on the pill, it's not, like, your actual period, right? And she's like, no, you just skip your actual period. It, like, stops it. And I was like,
no, mom.
Kelly, no.
For anyone listening, if you weren't aware of it, there you go. Yeah, when you're on the period, when you're on the pill and you get your period, that is not a real period. That is a withdrawal bleed, because in those 7 days, I think it's 7 days,
yeah, on average,
when you're taking or not taking the sugar pills, that is your body literally detoxing and coming off and withdrawing. And it's not a, it's it, yeah, yeah, yep, yep, yep. And I know it mimics a period because, yeah, you're bleeding, you're, for some women, cramping, feeling yuck, craving food, like, yeah,
angry
sad, anxious. But yeah, it's not a real period. And it literally, yeah, you're suppressing your natural hormone cycle, flow, everything when you're on the pill. And yeah, we're obviously not doctors, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when I do come off.
I found coming off, my mood swings are nowhere near as intense.
Yeah.
Like, my mood swings, whoo, mate. I could, like, swing into the future and back. Like, it was crazy.
That shit crazy.
I don't know how my first ever boyfriend handled me. Like, I'm
literally,
I apologize to you so wholeheartedly. Like, my mood and my parents, like, I'm sorry, mom. I'm sorry, dad. Those mood swings were fucked.
Same.
Like, actually, like, with a capital F, fucked.
Capital F and an exclamation mark.
And a little Q instead of the CK. Because we fancy. It was fucked.
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 Yeah.
But then coming off of it, like, my mood swings are not there.
Yep.
I don't get mood swings. Like, yeah, I get pain, but no mood swings, which is good.
Okay.
My doctor keeps trying to get me to, like, get the rod or, like, go back on the pill, and they're like, just take codeine for the pain. And I'm actually choosing a natural path for my endo.
Cool.
Which I'm yet to start, but you did give me the name to your
nutritionist. Yeah.
And there is a naturopath that I'm hoping to see locally.
Cool.
But there is a wait list because apparently they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
So you get that on the big jobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an interesting journey. And it's honestly for me, even though I've been having my period since 14, I've only just found out about the endo. So it's only just begun.
Yeah.
We should talk about endo and sex, because that shit,
I'd love to talk about that. Yeah, okay, endo and sex. So there's a lot of different side effects, we were saying before, with endo. With any, like anything, heaps of people experience an array of different side effects. Some experience none. Actually, that's something I do want to briefly touch on. I actually read about this, and obviously I presume you'd know about this. Some women can actually have endometriosis and not know until they go to try and get pregnant, and they cannot.
Yeah. Some people don't show symptoms.
Yeah.
The lucky bastards, but also unlucky because
Then they haven't been able to diagnose and get treatment for it before it's too late. It doesn't make every woman infertile. There are women that can have endometriosis that can conceive and have children either on their own or with help of IVF or whatever. But yeah, some women genuinely do not know they have it, which is fucking scary.
Yeah,
I'm like, why does this happen? Like, what? Why do we even? Why?
I think part of it is like the first major part of it is lack of education and understanding. Yeah. Like if your periods seem painful to you, like too painful, like people think that shit's normal.
Normal. It's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like some women, yeah, they may not show any like symptoms and stuff, but there are people out there who are showing symptoms that don't know that they're symptoms.
Yeah.
People who don't, like myself last year, I didn't know endo existed.
Yeah.
I did, like, you don't know that it's a symptom is a symptom unless you're educated on the disease or like chronic illness.
Yep. And women, as women, we're taught from such a young age that painful periods, cramps, mood swings, all of that is so normal.
And just deal with it.
Just deal with it. It's a woman thing. Oh, she's on her rag. She's on her period. It's that time of the month.
Shark week.
No, shark week.
That's my favorite one.
No. Like, and yeah, I know. And we're taught this from a young age. And like, even my mom, like she was a nurse and she knows a lot about women's health and she knows a lot about this. But yeah, crampy, normal. And I think to some extent, cramps are normal, but not excruciating pain. Not pain where you have to take days off work, days off school, where you're vomiting from the pain, where you can't eat from the pain. That's not normal. And you should really, if you're experiencing that, you should definitely seek medical advice and help, because that's not normal. Before I went on the pill, and this is why I have some sort of hope, but I've done a lot of research into this. I spiraled people. But from years 0 to 10, apparently, is when your endometriosis forms. And then from 10 to 26 or something like that is when you can start developing symptoms if you do.
Oh.
So 0 to 10, not only are you not, you don't have a period, well, some women might get it before 10, but from the time before you actually get your period is when it develops. And then beyond that,
you start showing symptoms,
or you start getting the heavy periods because it's already there, but you haven't had a period to then see that.
Yeah. It like triggers it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
I've done a lot of research. Yeah. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So, but before I went on the pill, I got my period very early, young. I got it at, I think I was 12 and a half or something like that. So I had a good year of, and I don't even know if that's long enough to have your cycle be normal.
Regulate.
But I do not remember, like, I fully went on it for my skin. I don't remember having period pain, like bad period pain, or I remember having a cramp or two the day before or the day of, the first day, and then after that, nothing. I just remember having, a natural cycle long. I think my period, even on the pill, even my pill bleeds are 6 days long. They won't be shorter than that.
I know someone who only gets a period for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I knew a girl like that in high school. And I thought she was joking. Like, I thought that was a joke. No, I have it for 2 or 3 days, like 2 really heavy days, and then the third it's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch, what? That's a thing. And then I've met heaps of girls in the meantime that also have 2 or 3 day periods, and I'm like, it's a whole week for me. It's gone.
Mm.
That whole week's gone.
Yeah. Also like the week before and the week after. I'm just like a bit like grr.
And then there's 1 week of the month where I'm like,
You got one solid week of like joy, and then the rest is just fucking anarchy.
Yeah.
Like straight up anarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, love being a woman. Oh, God. But yes, we want to talk about sex and endo, because again, you have something to contribute here. Painful sex? Or is it?
So sometimes it's not. Like if I'm so.
Yeah.
TMI, but we love our TMI.
We do. We are topics of taboo.
We put the T in TMI.
Yeah.
So if I'm really into it and I'm enjoying it, which for the most part, that's the only time I'll have sex is if I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But if I'm really enjoying it, I'll be like, fuck yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
But there are times where even when I am enjoying it, it can get so painful.
Yeah.
And it's a really difficult pain to describe.
Okay.
And it can happen in like different positions. Yeah. So like I might be fine in like missionary, but then or like if I like jump on top, like I don't know what happens. I don't know. Okay. It just fucking, so it honestly depends, but sometimes like, so like I love being on top.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I love it. I just love sex, yep. But yep. I do enjoy taking control sometimes in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it sucks because sometimes when I do that, even though I'm enjoying it, I'm feeling pain. And I'm like, do I push through this pain and just keep going for the enjoyment of it?
Uh-huh.
Or do I like say to the person that I'm with at the moment, just be like, oh, hey, like, this is fucking painful.
Yeah.
And there have been times where I've had to be like, hey, like, I need to actually tap out.
Yeah.
Like, let me just, like, I'll get your head instead. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I could do that for
which
you,
which is fine, yeah.
Which is fine. Like, mm-hmm. You've got to communicate that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it does add that extra layer of, I guess, what is the word? It adds, like, an extra layer of, because it's not awkward. I don't find it awkward at all.
No, it's not
all.
Awkward.
Like,
it's just
I'm
annoying.
I'm a huge conversationalist.
Yeah.
I love conversation in the bedroom. I love those, like, awkward moments where, like, you're having sex with someone and something goes wrong and you're just like, ah, this is so fucking funny. Or, like, like catch me cracking a joke. Like, like, it's so casual. Mm-hmm. But I will have moments where, like, I get that pain and I'm like, okay, I like, we need to switch up positions. Or, like, I just communicate that. I'm like, look, that fucking hurt.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's not me, it's just my insides, like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And most people receive it so, so well.
Yeah.
But there's an annoyance there.
Yeah.
It's super annoying to have conversation on top of, like, everything else that, like...
Yeah.
Because, like, you can be so in the mood, like, in the swing of things, fucking just nailing it, and then you just get pain, and you're like, cool. Yeet.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeet or be yeeted.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's another thing.
Yeet or be yeeted.
That's another thing women are taught, though, that sex, like, sex is not meant to be painful. Like, even everywhere you read, and, like, now, I think things are progressing a lot more to, like, be like, sex shouldn't hurt. Your first time might feel a little bit uncomfortable, or, because you're obviously, if it's your first time, you're going to try and be fully relaxed. But at the end of the day, if you're having sex for the first time ever with someone, or you're having sex for the first time after you've had it a few times, even though it's with a new person, you know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know more of what to do. So the first time, you're never going to be 100% relaxed, even if you try. So yeah, it might feel a little bit, I wouldn't say painful, tense, a little bit uncomfortable, but if you're fully relaxed and fully trust the person and you're into it, it should not hurt. But women are taught, like, there are so many things that say, oh yeah, a little bit of a discomfort or pain with sex is normal.
It's not meant to be painful.
It's not meant to be painful.
I mean, unless, like, you're intentionally inflicting pain as, like, a kink, then go for it,
sure.
Man. Like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual act of, like, PNV penetration is not supposed to be painful or any form of penetration for that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Mm. Fuck.
That's why I always, like, even to this day, I always say, like, self-exploration is the fucking key.
Yeah.
Because you gotta know what you like.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've said that so many times.
We have said that. Yeah.
You gotta know what you like. And it makes it a little bit easier going into that as well.
Yeah.
If you're more comfortable in yourself, which is so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
Then you'll be more comfortable with the person.
Yeah.
And I've had to reach a point, like, I didn't really get a choice in whether or not I was comfortable with myself. Like, I always sort of have been.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, pain and sex and, like, having that conversation, I've just had to have it. Like, I just have to tell them. I have to be
you can't.
Sorry, man, this fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's so important. And it's so good to be, like, voice whatever's happening with you. Like, you can't just sit through that. Like, just keep going. Because if it hurts, it's not ideal.
And you stop enjoying it once it's, like, if it's hurting you to that point, and I know that some people who suffer endo have some really painful sex.
Yeah.
Like, if it's hurting you to that point, you stop enjoying it and it becomes sort
a
of,
chore.
Like, for me, like, with my past,
yeah.
It actually becomes triggering.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not good at all, which is why I've learned to just communicate and be like, look, it's not you. I'm loving this moment.
Yeah.
You are, like, sex on legs.
Yeah.
But I need to stop right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't want to, like, push your own boundaries like that. Not in that way. Pushing your own boundaries for, like in a good way, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But pushing your boundaries in that direction, not so good. Much.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, preach it. Preach it. All right. Well, something else I wanted to cover with you, Kaya, is the fact that a lot of the symptoms of endo overlap with IBS or gut dysbiosis, which is what I'm literally going through right now. So I messaged Kaya about 2 weeks ago. I was having a really bad flare-up, and I've had flare-ups for about 6 years now. So for those of you who don't know, I have gut issues. I bloat every single day. I drink water first thing in the morning. I'm bloated an hour later. Okay, that's become so normal to me, and I understand that that's not normal and not something I should be dealing with. It is chronic. You learn to live with it, and, like, I've been talking to some of my mates, about it, and they're sort of like, yeah, you just, it becomes your normal, even though it's not normal. And if someone else were to deal with it or pick up on it and have it for a day, they'd be like, yo, this is fucked.
But you just grow used to
it. But you just get so used to it. And then, yeah, I had a bit of a breakdown 2 weeks ago, messaged Kaya. I had such a bad flare up. No joke. Woke up, my stomach was so distended after a whole night of my food digesting. So I hadn't even eaten yet, and my stomach was a balloon when I woke up. I felt, I have not felt that exhausted in my entire life. I spent all morning until about 2 p.m. in bed watching Ginny and Georgia, or Georgia and Ginny. It's such a good Netflix show. You should watch it.
Ooh, I'll get on it.
So good. And then my boyfriend was concerned. He was like, do you need to eat? I could not eat. No appetite. Couldn't eat. And then he's like, should I run you a bath? And at this point, I was like, yes, please. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get there from the bed to the bath, but...
but get that thank shit you running. So much.
Yeah. And he was so cute. He ran a bath for me. He got candles. He just did everything. He put my laptop in there, put Ginny and Georgia on, like, anything he could do to make me feel relaxed. And I went and had, like, a 3-hour bath. No joke. Couldn't, like, as soon as I was in there, I was like, like, everything just relaxed. And it was the only thing that helped.
Having a bath is literally my favorite thing. Chuck in a few Lush bath bombs. Yes. I go crazy over that. A little bit of Epsom salt. Got my candles, my incense, my laptop, my music. I write poetry. So I'll be writing in the bath. Very, like, the pages get wet and soggy, but it's fine.
That's like but it's indie like that.
It's cool like that, you know? Bougie like that. Yeah. But yeah, having a bath and, like, warmth really helps with, like, bloating and pain. And it's funny that you say that the symptoms overlap, because for the longest time, my doctors, this is before I knew endometriosis existed, my doctors were like, oh, you've got IBS.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gluten. I got told I was gluten intolerant. I'm not gluten intolerant.
Yeah.
Lactose intolerant, gluten intolerant, you've got IBS, you're intolerant to fructose, like, oh cool, so I just can't fucking eat anything, is that what you're telling me? Onion,
fruit, cool.
Like, I would honestly bloat drinking water, like, honest to God, I would have a sip of water and my stomach would expand. I will send you the photos of how my body was prior to bloating, and then, like, the morning of bloating, like, I'll send them to you if you want to use them for anything. That, like, I literally look fucking pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, I look like I'm in the third trimester about to pop.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, it's just IBS. Because they don't know enough about endo. They didn't know enough about endo. They didn't want to talk about endo. Like, not once in my entire, like, medical history did they once bring up endo. Not once.
I know.
Not once at all.
It's so bad.
They were like, oh, you just, like, allergic, intolerant. Like, I did all those, like, tests and blood tests after fucking blood tests. Mm. But nothing for, like, endo. Like, I was even tested for thyroid problems.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's just like your body.
Yeah, cool. Live with it. Deal with it.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. And that's what I do. I realized this in my spiraling session of Googling. I was like, all right, because I had something I had that day, and I haven't had it since, so I don't know what it was, but I had really bad lower back pain as well associated with it. But the thing is, your large intestine, and when gas gets trapped there, it, like, mimics the same pain. It's pretty much the same pain as, like, around your ovaries. It's in, like, the same area. And that day, I think it was honestly just built up gas and stuff, because the next day, I haven't had it since. It was a very bad flare-up, but it has not happened since. But yeah, I had, like, lower back pain here, bloating, no appetite, exhaustion. Fuck. That night, Fraser and I had a premiere in Melbourne, and Fraser, I was planning on driving us, or we were going to take the train. And I was like, I just looked at him and I was like, I can't drive. Like, I don't know how I stayed awake on, like, from Geelong to Melbourne. It's an hour. But I was literally like this the whole way when I'd been in bed all day.
Drowsy, yeah.
Drowsy. I have never experienced something like that. Like, that was jet lag times 10.
Yeah.
From nothing. I'd been in bed all day. What do you mean? It was just bad pain. I took Nurofen before we went on the very little food I'd eaten that day. I think I had, like, some candida free lemon slice that we'd made, like this much lemon slice. That's all I ate the whole day because I had no appetite. And yeah, just really bad lower back pain, really like tight pelvic like area, and the bloating was just insane. And yeah, and then I googled those symptoms and everything that came up was endometriosis, and I was like, chill a minute, sis, you do have a parasite in your gut, you do have an overgrowth of candida, and I'm aware of this. But then I linked the two and two together, candida overgrowth and endometriosis, which was even worse because they were like, 90% of people with endometriosis will also have an overgrowth of candida. And I was like, that. Fucking great. But obviously it does exist where people can have candida and not have endo. I'm aware of this. But I just spiraled. I'm sure we've all done it before.
As we do.
Yeah. Messaged Kaya, and then I was like, I need to get you on for an episode about this because...
And here we are.
Here we are. Well, that is pretty much everything covered, I think, that we wanted to talk about. I did put a poll thing up on my Instagram asking you guys to share your experience with endo. And I have a couple here to share, but a lot of them are very similar. This person said, I just had my 7th surgery for endo in the past 3 years. This disease has taken over my life.
Yeah.
7 in 3 years. I also read there's the two different types of surgery. You can get the one where they burn it off, mm-hmm. but then it comes back, or you can get the one where they cut it at the root, and like 70% of people, it doesn't come back, but still can.
I didn't even know that.
I spiraled. Like,
I'm too scared to Google this stuff because I don't want to, like, knowing that I have it, I don't want to just be sitting in my room sobbing on my keyboard. Like,
it put me in an anxious state for 7 days, like, at least.
Yeah.
This person said, I'm on tramadol and naproxen. Yeah.
Yo.
To help with pain. Doesn't help, so trying to get hysterectomy.
Yeah, I was considering that at one point. Okay. And I'm literally 22 years old, and was already considering a hysterectomy.
It's a scary thing.
I want children.
Children. that's the thing I want children.
I want children.
So do I.
So badly.
Yeah.
And there was a point when I first found out that I had endo where I was like, that's it.
I'm fucked.
If I can't have kids, I'm just not going to have kids. Maybe I'll adopt.
Yeah.
And my partner at the time was like, I don't want to adopt. And I was like, well, what if I literally can't have kids? And he's like, well, I don't want to adopt. So that's that. So I was like, yeah, cool.
And there's so much pressure on that as well. And it's like, it's fucked because... And it did make me feel, like, really scared because I was like, fuck, what if I do have it? What if I'm infertile? What if I can't have kids? And that's obviously spiraling to a massive degree.
There's a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure on us to be able to reproduce, which, sorry, first of all, not every woman wants to have children. Also, not every woman can. There are trans women out there who cannot naturally conceive. Mm. There are women out there who are just infertile regardless of having endo or not. Some women just can't have children. And there is so much pressure on us as women to be fertile. And it's almost expected. And that's why it sucks so much when women or couples do try to have a baby and then they can't. And then it's like, you're infertile. And it's such a heavy... And like, I guess we don't speak about men as well because some men don't.
Yeah, I guess it's hard for us to speak on like men's... Like, it is, because we're not men.
But it does happen.
Yeah. I won't lie. Like, that was the first thing when I found out I had endo. The first thing I said was, like, can I have kids?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I still don't know. Like, I have to have that surgery to know what my rate of having children would be.
Yeah.
And that fucking terrifies me.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely terrifies me.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I know deep down, like, I'm going to have kids.
Yeah, same.
But that... tiny bit of doubt in my mind that's like, you may not be able to conceive is actually heartbreaking. Like, I,
yeah.
I, like, fell into a depression when I found out I had endo.
Yeah.
I was already not in a very good mind space, and I talk about that very openly with the people I'm close with, even people I'm not close with, because I feel like you just have to. People don't talk about depression and that sort of stuff, but depression was a huge part of my life when I found out I had endo, and it just sent me plummeting.
Mm-hmm.
It was not ideal.
Yeah. And I think that would be very common amongst most people that are diagnosed with it.
Everyone I know that's been diagnosed with a chronic illness has gone through a very similar like mental... It's a mental struggle. It's a battle because your body is battling itself.
Yeah.
You're exhausted.
Yeah.
You feel like shit. You feel like you look like shit because you feel like shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it, nothing to fix it.
Yep.
And you're battling that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Your life can be so long. Like,
oh yeah.
Those are just the first few thoughts that pop into your head when you find out you're chronically ill. Yeah. So it's crazy. It's
insanity. Is ongoing. Exactly. As you said, it's chronic and that, oh, preaching to the choir. That's,
yep.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This person said, a chaotic journey spanning decades of misinformation, medical trauma, and daily pain, which actually makes me so sad. But it's so true. It's exactly, it's the whole theme of this episode.
Yeah. It's also Endo Awareness Month, apparently.
It is. March is Endo Awareness Month. I did see that.
Very fitting.
Very fitting. But yes, I guess, as we said, we're not medical professionals, but if you have listened to this and you've picked up on a few of the symptoms, as I said, some are asymptomatic. Some people do have symptoms like Kaya's or different. But if you have noticed that your period is super duper heavy, super duper painful, or it comes and goes, like you might have it 1 week and then 2 weeks later you have it again, that sort of thing, and maybe you have other things going on that you just can't explain that you are dealing with, definitely tell someone. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell a trusted individual, and go and see someone. And also don't let a doctor tell you no or tell you that it's just a bad period, because that's a cop-out.
Trust your intuition.
Mm-hmm. Go and see more doctors. Try and see female doctors if you can.
You know yourself better than anyone else. You know your own body better than any other person.
Yeah, you know when something's wrong, and if something isn't lining up, go and seriously do something about it before it gets worse, because that was me, and I really should have investigated my gut issues years ago rather than now, but that's a whole other story for another day. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed having Kaya on again. I sure did.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. You're welcome anytime. This podcast is pretty much your house now, so.
I live within the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bye. Bye.